Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz saxophonist Dan Pratt and pianist Michael Eckroth on their new 2022 CD, The Relay. It's a band, and this album is a richly melodic, rhythmically inventive set of originals. It's available on April 8th, 2022 from Same Island Music. Dan has released four solo albums and has served as a soloist and section member in some of the finest ensembles in jazz, while Michael is a multi-genre musician whose work is grounded in the jazz tradition. He's been based in New York since 2006, and he's known for his work with a lot of jazz luminaries. Together, they work very well, and they discuss this album, COVID life, the future, and so much more. Enjoy.
But gentlemen, thank you for taking a minute out to talk about new music and this crazy world we're living through.
Oh my goodness. So right, and such a welcome opportunity to have this chat.
Good. Yeah, and that's been the thing about this, is that hopefully things are opening up. Hopefully with the new album, you can get out and kind of promote this. So my question to you first and foremost, before we get into kind of the artistic constructs of you coming together on this album, what does it feel like right now on this St. Patrick's Day in March to have new music out and the hope of warmth in the air and all of that?
It feels great. It feels really promising. I mean, you know, when Delta was the strain to fear or to be aware of, things had been opening up and being optimistic with vaccinations, and then Delta made everybody kind of pull back again. Then things were opening up again, and then Omicron really shut things down fast, but kind of like a wildfire blazing through dry brush. Omicron left as soon as it, like almost as fast as it arrived. So I think things feel very optimistic going forward, and it just feels, you know, like everybody's very hungry for the opportunity to reconnect audiences and artists alike. And so we're really looking forward to the opportunity to actually carry this forward and connect with those audiences and bring this music to people so we can kind of forge community together.
Yeah, I just add that we can really see the result of things changing kind of back to being open again, because we have stuff upcoming. It's great to be looking at, you know, upcoming performances to, you know, to play some of this music for audiences. Those are staying on the calendar. So, and other stuff I have this year is still happening. So I think it's looking pretty positive. Like, we're going to be out there making music in 2022 for sure.
So coming together for the Relay, you know, with such a long time away and getting back to actually recording music, what did you learn about yourselves and the process of making music that maybe was revelatory, that made this making of this album and the chance to promote it that much better?
I would start by saying that learning about oneself is, we never considered having to do a record without a rehearsal. And we understand that this is a shared experience of so many musicians during the pandemic. You know, not about just recording, but by having to think of a new paradigm of how you're able to construct either a live event or a recording session, or even composing music and getting it to other people. So that really changed how we even set up this recording and how the CD was created. It was quite honestly the first time not only the four of us had gotten together to play music in a year and a half by that point, but it was the first time any of us had played music inside any room in a year and a half. And so, of course, it was the first recording session any of us had done in that time as well. So in the planning stage for Mike and I in getting this together really changed how we curated the music for this session. And it ended up giving birth to a really good perspective for the band, like a reason to exist, which feels like a very nice paradigm for the band to exist in post-pandemic or in whatever new normal exists. And which is to kind of play music that's more from the spirit and, you know, without being concerned with necessarily creating something new in that way, but rather, you know, creating something that feels and sounds good.
If you were to come to town and perform this music live, how would you explain and get people to come to see this? Talk to me a little bit about the show and why someone should come see you do this live. What would that show be like?
You know, we're playing music that's composed by myself and Dan. He was talking a little bit about that process of composition. And, you know, we stuck with stuff that I think that is the material that it's definitely, you know, accessible right off the bat. You know, we stuck with you know, nothing too esoteric or intellectual. So I think that would come across to audiences right away. And, you know, I'm happy to be able to, you know, work on my compositional process in the midst of this project. So, I mean, as far as what you're going to see in the show, I mean, we have a lot of rapport with the four of us. And even though, you know, with the year break in there, or the year and a half break where we weren't really playing, and I think that maintained. And I think it's, you know, held true when we recorded. So we'll definitely be bringing that rapport, the four-person rapport, you know, that we have to the stage.
Yeah, and I would build on that by saying that, you know, if people haven't heard of the Relay because it is a new band, or even haven't heard of any one of us per se, we've been playing together for almost 10 years in various iterations, and we know each other really well, and our chemistry is evident as soon as we begin playing. And, you know, I would also end by saying we kind of feel like music doesn't need to be a puzzle that has to be hard to figure out. It can be something that you, especially jazz, can work on itself being more relatable to people. Not that we're trying to solve that problem for everybody, but we're excited to kind of just feel like this can be music that can be both original and something that's immediately relatable.
And the other part of this is that, you know, the jazz world had to really kind of, and I think a lot of musicians in various disciplines had to pick up new skills, and lots of things had to be acquired over this time. So my question to you is, not only you as individuals, but the community of jazz in general, how do you see it emerging stronger? I mean, even talking about distribution of music and maybe, you know, a better share of profits or things like that, how do you see the community coming back stronger and more vital?
That's a great question. You know, I think that it's every single person that I've known or heard of had a great period of reflection, self-reflection, and sense of purpose, an evaluation of their sense of purpose. And I think in one, it's one of those things, as cliche as it is, if you're left standing after this, then you're stronger for it. A lot of musicians have relocated and adapted in that way. Other musicians have kind of adapted by finding other income streams. Others have adapted by taking their presence online. You know, like you said, everybody's got new skills. And I think that nobody's felt like whatever skills that they've learned or, you know, added to their toolkit in the course of the pandemic, none of it was a waste of time, because nobody really wanted to waste their time. They might have started the beginning of the pandemic biding their time, but eventually, as it drew on, people really wanted to do something that was meaningful. So I think that everybody's finding a way to integrate whatever they've done, whether or not it's a new locale or a new skill set that they've built during the pandemic, or new relationships that they've forged, or a new perspective on their artistry or where they live or what they're doing with their lives. I think that that's all going to be informing what everybody's doing going forward, ourselves included. I'm certain that I can say that for myself, and I'm sure Mike would agree. And I, for one, am interested to see how that plays out over the next year or two, and seeing that evidenced in what people are doing going forward.
The other part of this is, you know, as we start returning more in earnest, what do you hope both the musician and the audience realizes about the true power of live music that we've largely been away from for 2 years now?
Yeah, just going with what Dan mentioned a minute ago, we did work on a lot of new skill sets, and we did, most of us, branch out and learn how to do things we couldn't do before and adapt to the scenario where gigs just weren't happening. But I think this is all going to bring into relief how important the live scenario is, because that's all wonderful, and we were able to make some nice, you know, internet productions, and we were able to record things remotely, and that was wonderful, but there's nothing like being together to do it. So I think it just brings into relief how important it is for us to have that audience relationship, you know, the performer audience connection. I mean, the music's there, and our skills are wonderful, and we can write and we can play great individually, but there's just nothing like the band being there and, you know, communicating the music to the audience. So, I mean, I think having the break, you know, definitely for musicians, it was just a sense of relief to be in front of an audience or to be communing with musicians again after that. But, you know, now we're kind of in a phase where we've been a few months into actually getting back into activity. I mean, I know my calendar has been getting pretty full. So I think we're in the phase where we're building on that, you know, as a community. You know, we learned what we learned, and now we're moving forward, and we're going to try to, you know, get this stuff out to as many people. And I think the audiences are there for it. I mean, there's been so many big, you know, there's been so many kind of full shows that I've been involved with for the past couple months. So, I mean, I think it's looking good. And I think, you know, I think we're all learning to appreciate it even more than we did before, an audience as well.
You know, I think it's like the adage of absence makes the heart grow fonder, or you don't know the value of something until it's gone. And we were all forced to not be able to see each other for so long. And, you know, not musicians also not having the ability to perform with other musicians live, have that live response time. Audiences are feeling it too. Musicians are feeling it as audience members too, because we go check stuff out too. I know for one, having gone to check out music and be reunited with people and be reunited performing, nobody's taking it for granted. You know, when before the pandemic, as of, you know, say March 1st, 2020, it was still kind of like the general prevailing attitude was like, oh, it'll always be there. And now we know it's not. It's a precious thing. It's a precious opportunity. It's something that can't be replaced by technology. No matter how good technology gets, it's never going to replace the feeling of air moving in the room together.
You know, when this started, probably a few months into it, I interviewed Al Daniola, and, you know, we just didn't know where this was going, and I think everybody was still in the early stages of shock of all of the tours falling off, especially, you know, large-scale productions that were gone. And he weaved together this metaphor of like a cancer patient or going through a disease, and we're doing it collectively, globally. And I think when you come out of something like that, you approach life differently. I remember there was a jazz singer in Kansas City who unfortunately lost. Her name was Molly Hammer. And she told me during at one point when she beat cancer, she came back and said yes to everything. She just stopped saying no. So my question to you two is that what are you going to do differently as a survivor of this pandemic that's been unimaginable for the globe? How are you going to translate it to your personal life and do things differently?
I can definitely respond to that. I think having this shift to what is the two new normals we've had, the pandemic and now the post-pandemic, I mean, for me, it's brought the way I approach my time commitments to the front. So, I mean, I'm definitely, the reason we're able to pursue a project right like this right now is because I'm going to be spending personally more time on things that are important to me. So promoting a project of original music with friends and not getting so gummed up with the day-to-day business of being just because, you know, we have to do so many things kind of get by or things like that are just not important. But, you know, we get into this grind and it's like, you know, like Dan mentioned where we thought it would just be there forever. But, you know, I've realized that I'd rather be, you know, devoting my time to important projects and things that I feel true to myself. So, like this band, for instance, and the music we've recorded and made, it's going to be a lot easier going forward for me to say no to the unimportant things and say yes to, you know, things that have legs and things that can, you know, allow us to, you know, build on a project and move it forward and just let things, you know, go, you know, take their course. It's just more, you know, it's more focused on the importance of you know, the musically important activities in my life and letting that be my focus.
Yeah, being old enough to have lived through several global events such as 9/11, some really global trauma and national trauma, those events never made me think that music would be taken away, you know, and this really was something where it wasn't completely taken away, but it was vastly altered and dramatically altered. So I have a renewed sense of value in the ability and the imperative to create music and bring that to people and the therapeutic nature of performing and the multifaceted nature of live performance. And even for everything from the creation and the composition of music to the purpose behind the creation of music to the purpose of the existence of music, connecting with audience, connecting with bands, it's all something that has a more urgent imperative to me now.
So let's get into the good business here of letting everybody know where the most ideal place and places that the Relay can be picked up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to be available April 8th. The record drops. It's the Relay Band. The name of the band is The Relay, and the record is also called Relay, self-titled. It drops on April 8th, all streaming platforms, and physical copies can be purchased at the website, which is therelayband.com. And that is Relay, R-E-L-A-Y.
Gentlemen, thank you for opening up, talking about the album, this crazy world that we're in. Hopefully, you know, everything starts calming down a little bit. Yeah, good luck with everything as we move forward.
Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to both Dan and Michael for their time, music, and candor. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.